This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA. This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Let's go.
This is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Tom Pelissero.
49ers All-Pro wide receiver Brandon Ayuk has officially requested a trade.
The other door, this was not a setup, okay? This literally hit as I'm getting you up on the Zoom.
Oh, no. This can be true.
Earlier on the show, senior baseball writer for The Athletic, Keith Law. Missouri head coach, Eli Drinkwitz. Longtime golf writer, Alan Shipna. Coming up, professional boxer, Shane Mosley Jr. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Tom Pelissero.
Welcome back to a Rich Eisenless show. Tom Pelissero in the seat all week. We've had a phenomenal run of guests throughout the course of the show. Keith Law breaking down all things baseball. Eli Drinkwitz, he's got a top 10 Missouri team. Ooh. He came on the show. Alan Shipnuck breaking down the British Open for us. We'll get back to some NFL conversation. Phone lines will be open, too, throughout the rest of the show, 844-204-RICH. But right now, we got a guy in studio. I am very excited about our next guest. It is boxer. It is middleweight contender, Shane Mosley Jr. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, thank you for having me on. This is great.
It's awesome. Like, you fought 11 days ago.
Yes, I did.
You beat Danny Jacobs.
Yeah.
There's not a scratch on you. Like, how do you maintain? Is it a skincare routine? Is it anti-inflammatories? Or did he simply not land a punch and he's, you know, bloodied somewhere still?
Well, I did my job. I did my job well. I neutralized him, and I feel like I won the fight with my boxing ability. So I think that is number one on why I look as good as I do. And I did my job and box him, hit and not get hit, you know?
How long does it take you after a fight? Obviously, there's some fights. You're 22-4, I believe, is your record. But most of the time, you're waiting. How long does it take just your body, your hands, everything to feel normal again?
A couple weeks. You know what I mean? Especially if it's a hard fight, you know, a couple weeks to kind of get it all feeling better and feeling back to normal, as you say. But, you know, it's all part of a part of it. You know, it's like all part of like getting being a boxer. You know, you take the punishment. You kind of got to get used to things hurting all the time.
So after that fight, you get the win. You call out Aris Landy-Lahr.
Yes,
I say,
did.
I want you.
Yes, I do.
What would it mean to you to get a shot at the WBA middleweight belt?
Oh, it would mean the world. For one, that the WBA belt is the first like official like world title, right? And to beat a guy like Aris Landy-Lahr, who's also fought everybody, just like Daniel Jacobs, to add that onto my list of legends and, you know, become the true legend killer, would be great, you know, and I could be a legend as well.
All right, so we got a wide audience here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah. Emmy, Sports Emmy nominated, though Brockman did inform me. We haven't had a win yet.
We haven't actually won yet, it's fine.
This can help. All right, so you got a big audience. Why don't you look in the camera
Yes. And
tell Aris Landy-Lahr that you want it. Wait, give me the best promo you can to set up this fight.
Aris Landy-Lahr, fight me, Shane Mosley Jr., and I'll put you back into retirement.
There it is.
Now we're talking.
Back into retirement.
Back into retirement.
I dig it, man. See, you grew up in this. Your dad, Sugar Shane Mosley, you know, you watch him for a living hit and get hit. What made you want to follow in his footsteps?
My own experience, you know, like obviously being around boxing, being around going to fights all the time. I was around it and that would, you know, make most people think, oh, you want to do it because you saw this, you saw the lights and glamour. But truthfully, I went randomly to the boxing gym with one of my buddies, and he's like, hey, man, you want to go spar? And so I go up and I do it, and we sparred four rounds, got a bloody nose, and fell in love. Like I literally, like, getting a bloody nose and getting hit and stuff like that made me feel like I want to go and change that. I want to get a bloody nose again, or I want to, you know, be better next time. And, you know, adversity shows a man to himself. And I think that that was always in there. Just getting my own experience woke me up to wanting to do it for myself.
There's so many people who they get a bloody nose their first time sparring, and that's it. They're like, I don't want to get punched in the nose ever again. Like, well, what about that moment made you think you actually wanted to feel that experience again, but also to get better?
Because, you know, like, I think that that's all the desire of most people. They want to become better at something. And when you get something like something so humbling, like a bloody nose, you know, I can change this. This won't happen again, right? And that was, you know, the thrill for me. And I've turned that into a 10-year career, and I'm only getting better, right? Like, I mean, people used to tell me all the time that I would never be as good as my dad. And who knows? They might be right, but I'm going to make my shot at it because I'm getting better. Just like that bloody nose, I'm getting better. And I've become better, you know, this whole time. And I just beat Danny Jacobs, 2-time middleweight champion. So it looks like I'm getting better.
So you are, in boxing terms, you're a free agent right now, right?
I'm a free agent.
So what's next here?
Well, so with that being said, we obviously, that means our contract is up with Golden Boy. But Golden Boy does have the option to want to re-sign me if possible. So we're obviously going to hear them out. But that also opens the door for other promoters to reach out and want to work with me as well. So that could be a great opportunity for everybody involved.
We keep beating guys like Danny Jacobs.
Yeah.
I would think you're going to have some opportunities.
I think so too.
Yeah. Well, what brings you to LA this week?
So I have a few meetings with some sponsorship, one being Fabletics. And then we're going out to the Jake Paul, Mike Perry fight. So that's going to be great. I'm going to Tampa, Florida. So you're going to
What do you think of the entire Jake Paul experience? Somebody coming from outside the traditional boxing world and now fighting on some massive stages.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I never look at a guy that's getting attention and go, oh, I'm jealous. I go, for one, how is he doing that? How can I do that? And also, if he's uplifting my sport, he's obviously working very, very hard. I mean, he's knocked out Tyron Woodley. I mean, Ben Askren. I mean, he beat Nate Diaz. I mean, all these guys. So he's putting in the work, and he's showing my sport a lot of love because he's given all those fights to boxing, where they could be MMA or whatever the case is. So I love that he's giving shine to my sport. And so that only puts more money into my sport, which essentially puts more money to me.
I know you're not a heavyweight, but how old would Mike Tyson have to be for you to get in the ring with him?
Ooh, man. he'd have to be pretty old. they have weight classes for a reason. Jake Paul's a little bit bigger than me. You know, he can hold that weight a little bit better. I'm a middleweight. You know, I'm not a really, really big guy like Mike Tyson. So he'd have to be pretty old for that.
I mean, could you see yourself getting in the ring when you're that age? If you're in your 40s, 50s, are you still trying to do this?
To be honest, I feel like if I haven't gotten all I needed to get out of this game before I'm 40, it wasn't meant for me.
So you got a lot of exciting stuff for right now. You're going to be a dad soon, right? You got a baby on the way.
I am. I have my third son on the way. So I have this will be number 4. And we've already decided that his name is going to be Creed. So Creed Mosley.
Ooh.
After Apollo Creed? Is that the inspiration?
I mean, definitely one of the things to add on to it. But yes, yeah, so we just love the name. We just thought it was very fitting for our fourth kid to be Creed. So, and it fit. Like, wait, oh, he's going to be a boxer. You know, it's like people are like, oh, yeah, it's because of the Apollo Creed. So.
But so now you got boys that you're raising. Is this going to become the generational thing? Are you going to let them go get punched in the nose first and figure it out on their own?
Well, you know, so my mom did something really, really great with me, which was she told me that if you wanted to make a career out of this, you're going to have to go and do it yourself. If you want to go and be a boxer, you got to find a way to the boxing gym. You got to find a way to get, you know, all of your gear and all those things, because I believe she wanted to make it difficult for me, because she knew that when I became a pro that it was going to be hard for me. And I have to go through adversity and difficulties of people saying, you know, that you'll never be good enough. So I think she wanted to give me a kind of a leg up when it came to that. So I do the same for my boys. If you want to do it, you got to figure it out. I don't want you to do this. You can't do this, you know, things like that, because I want them to resist that and go through that adversity of, if they can go through me and defy me, they can defy everybody else.
So mom gave you advice on the career front. Again, your dad, Sugar Shane Mosley. What was the best advice he ever gave you?
That you deserve to be where you want to be, which is a world champion. You deserve to be there. So always believe that you deserve to be there, and you were always meant to be there. So, you know, of course, we all have doubts that, oh, am I supposed to be here, or am I good enough? Or always believe that you deserve to be there.
So are you going to wait for Lara now at this point? Or, like, what's the timeline you're looking for your next fight?
I mean, I would love to fight in the next 3 to 6 months. If Lara comes about, 100%, let's get it. But if it doesn't, then I want to become world champion. There's 3 other championship belts that I could get, and I'm willing to take on anybody to get there.
How much downtime do you give yourself before you go back to the full? You can't go at 100% all the time to do this thing. So how long do you give yourself before you ramp up to the next one?
Roughly about 2 weeks to a month, depending on you know, how hard the fight was. But I want to get back already. Like, I've been itching already. Like, my wife is like, hey, just take your time getting back to the boxing gym. And I'm like, I want to go. I'm ready to go back. I want to get better.
What does your wife think? What's that experience like for her every time you get in the ring?
Oh, she definitely is nervous. She's always, nervous. She's been pregnant for the last 3 fights, so she can't have any alcohol. But usually she's like, I need a shot. but for the last 2 pregnancies, the 2 pregnancies, she couldn't drink, so obviously.
I mean, I feel like nervous. If my wife were in the stands and I was going in the boxing ring, like, she would go into labor at that moment. Like, there'd be no coming back from it.
Right. 100%. I don't know how she does it, because I remember when I was a kid and I would watch my dad fight, and that was nerve wracking. Like, I just thought it was like the worst thing. I remember when I first saw him get knocked down, it was like seeing Superman die. Like, it was like, what's going on? This is not supposed to happen. So I told my son that he had to be 10 years old before he can go to my first fight. And so, like, a year ago, he went to his first fight ever, and he was, like, super excited. But when I won the fight, I knocked the guy out, and he was crying. He was like, you know, like, so.
Somebody swinging it down.
Yeah, 100%. So, like, it's like, it's a nerve-wracking experience. I don't know how you'd watch a family member do it. Like, everybody else is like, hey, I watch, you know, other guys that I know, you know, lightly, or, you know, regular fights. Hey, you know, it's cool. But, like, watching family members, it's hard.
So I, as we covered at some length off the top of the show, I've never been in a fight in my life. I'm 43 years old.
Okay.
Just never, you know, never a schoolyard
scrap. You want to get into a fight?
Never. I absolutely don't want to fight. We'll let Lara, he's got you, not me. But what I was curious, I thought this would be interesting, is I figured just the law of averages, right? How many 43-year-old men have never really been in any type of a fight?
Yeah.
So I figure at some point I'm going to be in some situation where I am going to have to give a punch,
yeah,
and or take a punch.
Ooh.
So can we do this out here? Do we have a way to, can we get a microphone up here? I just thought, if we can just stand, and if you can give me like a couple tips on what I should do in that situation, from the stance to whatever I got to do. Can we stand up and do this here?
Yes. That's good.
All right. So we got.
This is fantastic.
Hold the mic. TJ, you want to come hold the mic for me here? This might help here. So, okay.
Oh, this is great.
Right, so I don't even know how to stand and do this here. Let's use this camera for the.
So we're using this one?
Okay. All right.
So, you'd want to. So you want to your right hand first.
I'm a righty.
Okay, but so, like, boxers typically will put their left hand first. So you.
We're off to a bad start. Okay.
So you can get the rotation on your power hand, right? Because you want to rotate just like you would throw, like, a baseball, for instance.
Sure.
Right, and that's kind of how you'd want to do it like you were throwing a baseball. Have you ever thrown a baseball?
I was a pitcher. Okay. So I have the land.
So you're gonna knock somebody out. All right, so.
Probably not, but I'll take that.
All right, so what you'd want to do is hands up just a little bit higher, right? And then you'd probably want to, like, blind me or put your hand in my face to where it kind of blocks my eyes.
Like this?
Yeah.
Here.
If you were to do that, right, I'd want to get my hands up because if I go like this, you got to go, what are you doing?
Got it. So you go on the defensive, and then come around.
And then you come around that guard right here. Got it. So you put that hand right there in my face and come around. Boom.
Right there.
Oh. That'd be it.
All right. Now, so you're punching me. I'm in the bar. You've had a few too many shots. You're coming up to me. I mean, I'm dead if you punch me. I'm saying this is just like some random guy who's maybe closer to my size. Okay. All right. I got to take a punch. What do I got to do?
Okay. So I would say
don't
take a punch. I would definitely
say. It's a good strategy.
Keep those hands up and out.
And out.
Yeah. So like if I'm throwing a punch at you, like right?
Right.
Or like
just to slow it down.
Yeah, get in the line of fire.
So somehow I didn't think the advice was gonna be just go like this, don't hit me.
No. Okay. But I mean don't hit me.
Alright, so we got this.
Yes.
Alright, so you're coming at me.
Should I go here?
Alright, let's do it. So the whole sequence, you come at me, I go like this.
Yes.
Then I go here?
Yes. So you get that inside track. So you go here, boom, block it, inside track, boom. And then now it's go.
And then boom, right there.
So here.
There it is. All right.
There.
So here we go.
Boom.
Yep.
Inside track. Whoop. Boom. There we go.
And
there
we've done it.
There it is.
So watch out, everybody.
Yeah.
At some point, Shane Mosley Jr.'s advice, don't mess with me. I'm 155 pounds of twisted steel. All right. I am 100% dynamite here. You don't want to mess with me. Just got a box lesson from one of the best. Shane, thanks a ton for being here, man.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you. Laura, well, look out, man. I'm coming for you.
There it is. All right. Back with more of the Rich Eisen Show. Some of our non-negotiables for the NFC North coming up a little later on in the show. We'll take some NFL questions as well. It's the Rich Eisen Show.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of different sounds that you might hear. Drive too fast, and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing. The sound of ambulances and first responders desperately trying to free you from the wreckage. You could hear the beeps of a heart monitor. You could hear doctors and nurses in an emergency room as you're being treated for your injuries. You could hear the sound of worried family members in the hospital waiting room, hoping to hear that you're okay. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, whether by a lot or by a little, you could do damage that's beyond repair. You could seriously injure yourself, or worse, you could hurt and even kill someone else. When you speed, you put everyone on the road in danger. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. They say opposites attract, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples. I can confirm exactly that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. You can choose what's right for you whenever you like. If you like a bed that feels firm but they want soft, Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm, Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's perfect for both of you only at a Sleep Number store. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I am Tom Pelissero, sitting here at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Shane Mosley Jr., middleweight contender, just stopped in the last segment. She gave me some tips if I ever have to, you know. The best advice he gave me that whole thing when I said, how do I take a punch, was just don't get punched.
Yeah, don't do it.
Which is probably smart. We then did the classic face-off photo with TJ taking it over here. Great idea, TJ.
Very intense.
Very hard to not burst out laughing. I guess if you're an actual boxer, it's probably, you know, know, it's more of like an intimidation thing. But he said, I guess I could say this, right? Like, don't look him in the eyes. Look right here, which I had never thought about, because when you're staring another man in the eyes from a very close range there, it's hard to not be like, well, this is silly. Yet every boxing match in history has included that exact pose.
Very silly.
844-204-RICH is the phone lines. You haven't done any one loss game today. How about let's go to Rob in Charlotte. Would like to do a little win loss game. Rob, it's Tom. What's up?
Tom, you're my favorite guest host. Thanks for being there, sir.
I appreciate that, man. So who do you want to do? It says Steelers or Panthers. Who do you prefer here?
Well, I mean, I've been a Steelers fan longer, but I've been in Charlotte for 20 years. Your call.
We've had one of each. What are you guys more interested in, Panthers or Steelers here?
I would like to, we might as well get the Panthers, because we'll probably get more Steelers fans, I would think.
What are you saying about Panthers fans?
Well, I'm just saying.
We got one right here who's at least 50% Packers. They're Panthers fans. All right, Rob, Panthers win-loss. Let's start out week one at New Orleans.
Week one, they're going to shock the world and lose by less than 7.
Week two, home against the Chargers.
They're going to lose.
Week three at Vegas.
They're going to go 1-3.
Week four, home against the Bengals.
Shock the world, beat the Bengals.
All right, there's a W on the board. First one for Dave Canales. Week five at Chicago. Last two number one picks. What do we got there?
That's a loss.
That's a loss. All right, week six, home against the Falcons.
They beat the Falcons at home. Always play them tough.
At Washington.
You know what? They're on a winning streak, 2 in a row.
At Denver.
That's a loss.
Ooh. Home against the Saints.
They lose to the Saints twice. Another shock the world, lose by 7.
against the Giants in Munich.
3-6.
Oh, they own Germany. They're winning that one.
All right. So 4-6 at the bye. Let's go to home against Kansas City, November 24th.
Smoked.
week 13, home against the Bucks.
Smoked.
They beat the Bucks.
All right. Ooh. At Philadelphia.
They lose again.
Home against the Cowboys.
Lose again.
Home against the Cardinals.
They beat the Cardinals down the season.
Well, they got two more games, so are they going home after week 16 there? At Tampa.
At Tampa, they lose.
And at Atlanta.
At Atlanta, they sweep the Falcons.
So sweep over the Falcons, which brings them to a grand total of 7 wins. So that's 7-10 from Rob and Charlotte on the Panthers season. Rob, thanks a lot for giving us a call. I think it's realistic to temper the expectations on the Panthers. I also, when you know, I was looking through, and apparently you guys did this earlier this week, who's going to be this year's Texans, given that Houston's reporting first full squad today. 50 days until the entire NFL regular season opener. Texans, the first team that's all in because they are against the Bears in the Hall of Fame game. I think the Panthers at least had to be in the top five of the potential worst to first teams, just because I don't know that division has anybody that's going to run away with it. The Bucs have won the last couple of years. The Saints have been, you know, they're doing something different on offense now with Clint Kubiak coming there, but they're kind of an unknown. And the Falcons have, you know, spent the entire offseason saying, hey, we got the quarterback or quarterbacks. That was the only hole in the roster. We're going to be good for a long time. We're not going to be drafting up high. I just think the entire division is fascinating. A lot of things would have to go right for the Carolina Panthers, but a breath of fresh energy. I said it yesterday, Bryce Young, the way that he is wired, the way that he approaches the game, everything everyone told me coming out in the draft about processing. They got him some interior help, expensive guards, which for a shorter quarterback, I would think having some better protection up the middle and being able to run the football more effectively is going to help him out. 7-10, I think that would be a big step forward from 2-15. In the first year for Dave Canales, is that good enough for Panthers fans? Can't get a whole lot worse than last year. Brockman,
hello.
Since we're talking about a Panthers team that's fired their head coach during the season 2 years in a row, I know you wanted to unleash on us your, do we call this the unpower rankings
of
the coaches?
Powerless rankings, fan favorite, there it is. TJ. Everybody loves them. Play my music. Do I have music? No. All right. My powerless rankings. No. All right, here we go.
I think it's fitting that the powerless rankings don't have music.
I love it. Here we go, Tom. Ready? This is my top 10 coaches whose seat is on simmer entering 2024. Top 10? Oh, I got 10.
This is
it's not quite hot, but we're simmering because it's mid-July and it could potentially get hot as a season goes on. I want your reaction.
Number so you just filled the water in the pot. This is and you just turned on the burner.
I turned on
but
the burner.
But you got it on high.
It's
so you
on
know
high
it's
because
probably, you know, it potentially
could
boil.
It could potentially get there if things
minutes.
Go south. Number right. 10, Sean Payton. Now, it's going to surprise a lot of people, but we are about one, maybe two seasons away from everyone looking at Sean Payton and going, maybe it was Drew Brees. Maybe it was all Drew Brees why this guy's so good, right? If he can't turn around Bo Nix or get the quarterback figured out there, I don't care how many Walmart dollars he's getting. That's nothing to these people. He will be gone in his seat. It's going to be hot.
I think that things would have to become a dumpster fire on so many levels, given the amount of money that they're paying Sean Payton. And given the reality that if you look at their offseason moves here, they're in a transition phase. Now, Sean's going to want to win every year. He's going to believe he can win every year. He's one of the smarter guys when it comes to offense. Won a ton of games in New Orleans, in a place that the Saints had no real history of winning. But when you're talking about having Jarrett Stidham competing with Zach Wilson and a rookie Bo Nix on a team that, you know, who's their best perimeter threat? Probably Cortland Sutton. I know they've drafted some young guys.
Yeah,
they're remaking the running back room.
Not a lot of guys.
Defensively, they've had some attrition.
Broncos will be drafted.
I just think that they know in that division, especially, their work's cut out for them. I think the real metric on Sean Payton is probably 2025. Though again, Sean's not looking past it. He wanted to win last year. He was pushing all the way to the end, which is part of why he benched Russell Wilson when he did, to try to spark things and not have a losing season.
Number 9, Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel has won a lot of regular season games. Things came apart down the stretch last season with Mostert being hurt, Waddle being hurt, Tyreek was banged up. He's gotten by far the most out of Tua. I think it's fair to say that when a coach is going into his third year, you'd like him to win a playoff game.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing they haven't done. He's gone to the playoffs both years. He started, what's his name, the rookie quarterback out of Northwestern, I think, in the playoff game, right? His first year in 2022. You're looking at me with a totally blank look. I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head. You can find it. I want to say Clayton Thorson, but that's a different Northwestern quarterback. And then 2023, they have the division. They start getting banged up. They lose down the stretch, end up having to go on the road instead of hosting a playoff game. But they have it right there. I think that if they make the playoffs again, if they can win a playoff game, they're going in the right trajectory. If you don't, again, any coach going into year three, think about this. Most head coaching contracts, not all, but most head coaching contracts are 4 or 5 years. Some guys we've seen get 6-year deals. Matt Rhule got a 7-year deal. Gruden got a 10-year deal. Every now and then there's a 3-year deal, but most of them are 4 or 5.
Skylar Thompson.
Out of? Northwestern?
No, I didn't go that far. I was just looking to get his name.
By that year, by the time you get into year three, you're either going to extend the head coach or you're going to fire him. And so any head coach going into year three, you're hoping that they're going to continue to take that step forward. I think that's fair, and I think Mike would agree with that.
Number 8, Sean McDermott, Buffalo Bills. Kind of shocked he stayed head coach anyway, but Bills championship window is almost closed. You got a guy like Josh Allen, and they got literally nothing to show for it.
You know, I talked to Sean about this at the league meeting back in March, because last year had all the feelings of a crisis building. It was he fired his offensive coordinator after a Monday night game that they lost on a missed field goal or a made. No, it was a penalty on a field goal. And then there was a second try. Right. Yep. It was like a weird sequence that did not have to do really with the offense, but he needed to do something. And that ended up being what it was. And then you had a story come out that was extremely harsh on Sean as a coach, as a person. And those are the moments where, you know, when I wrote my expose on Urban Meyer a couple of years ago, and I was very confident in the information, he denied everything, but they fired him like 3 days later. Okay, usually if you get like the hammer story and there's all this stuff going on, it looks chaotic. It's going to go that direction. Instead, the Bills ripped off a bunch of wins, and Joe Brady did a really good job. Ken Dorsey's a good football coach, but something needed to change. They needed to shake it up. Joe Brady did a good job. J. Josh Allen started playing better. I think that anytime that you're a coach who is in one place for as long as Sean McDermott is and has as consistent of success like Sean McDermott has, there's a different level of expectation every year, where every year feels like for the Bills, it's Super Bowl or bust. Yeah. But this is a team that lost its top two receivers from a year ago in terms of Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. They cut a bunch of their guys or lost them on defense. You still got Von Miller, who you're hoping is going to play a lot better than he did last year. Yeah. There's a lot of unknowns there, but they're going to have that feeding frenzy surrounding them. They got a game in Buffalo against Arizona in week one. If a Cardinals team that I think we all kind of like from a, hey, they were competitive last year, they beat the Eagles and Steelers late in the season, they go into Buffalo and win, you're going to hear all that stuff about the Bills. I think that they're, the expectations are a little bit higher, but Sean McDermott, I mean, his resume, he hasn't won the Super Bowl, but he's won a lot of football games. If he were to become available, he would be a hot head coaching candidate.
It's cool that there's a banner for won a lot of football games. Number seven.
There's different levels of success. And if you're saying that 97% of the league is failing every year, Brockman, that's harsh. But you'd like to think you got Josh Allen. You're going to get a Lombardi.
Brian Daboll, number seven, Giants head coach. I thought you could have made a case that he could have got last year. I think his seat is definitely more than simmering entering 2024.
Brian Daboll was the classic victim of don't overachieve in your first season.
Correct.
His first year, they won 10 or 11 games.
Temper expectations.
Went into the playoffs. They beat the Vikings in Minnesota in a playoff game before they lost the following week. Last year was probably the regression to the mean. I mean, it's a lot like when, Joe Shane and Daboll were both, Daboll might not have been there yet, but when they were in Buffalo and the Bills, remember, in 2017, they had that wild run with Tyrod at quarterback and they made the playoffs for the first time in 20 plus years, whatever it was. And then year two, they had to take all this cap stuff on and it was a mess and they lost a lot of games, but it was okay. That was probably more realistic of where they are. And then they started building and you've seen the Bills be a perennial playoff team ever since then. The Giants have to show that they're in that same category. And again, we're getting a fantastic behind the scenes look at the Giants and the front office and why they made the moves they did in the offseason. There's things that are uncontrollable, as Joe Shane said, in free agency. There's also things that are uncontrollable in terms of you have no bearing outside of two games a year on how Saquon plays with the Eagles. That's going to be used by certain people as a metric of Saquon plays well, you're an idiot, Saquon plays bad or gets hurt, you're a genius. It has nothing to do with it. They played the numbers. They decided it was getting out of control with the money. They moved on from them. You're also with a situation with Daniel Jones where this regime has not drafted their quarterback. They were pressed into committing to Daniel Jones on a multi-year contract last year because Saquon turned down a deal and they could only tag one of them. You're hoping Daniel Jones gets back to playing, gets healthy, and is back to playing the way that he did in 2022, where he was a threat both with his arm and his legs. You got better weapons around him than you've ever had. You're hoping you play better. No question, you're in New York. Again, another team that if you lose week one, it's going to be, people are going to be circling with the ambulances around you here and saying how long until we got to take you away. Dable's a good coach. He's been to the playoffs. Let's see. That one's TBD.
Number six, let's stay in the NFC East. Nick Sirianni, Eagles head coach. What's going on? Did we figure out why they went 10-1 and then lost every game the rest of the year, it felt like?
I mean, there were a lot of things going on. I do think there's something to be said for, and there's a long history of this, you can follow it, where the team that loses the Super Bowl struggles to get back there. The Eagles are trying to defy that, but you're losing that extra month after the season, so you got a shorter offseason, you come back. They look to me like a team that completely ran out of gas. They looked like they just didn't have it down the stretch. From the middle of the 2021 season, when Sirianni at the time turned over play calling duties to Shane Steichen, through, that 10-1 start last year until the Dom game against the 49ers. Yeah. I only saw the second half of that. I tuned in a minute, so I'm in an airport restaurant, let's call it that, on my way out of whatever game I was at that day. So inevitably, if I'm covering like a 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff, I miss the first half and change.
Right.
So the incident happens, I think, early third quarter. I sit down at the bar to order my food, and I look up and I'm like, what is happening? Because all I'm seeing are like replays of like Dom, the security guard, Big Dom being hauled out of the stadium. And there's no replays. I'm like, what did I miss? And meanwhile, the 49ers are like absolutely boat racing him on the field. And that was that turning point moment. You know, Sirianni made hard decisions along with Howie and the rest of the brain trust there after the season. They talked through everything. He changed out his offensive defensive coordinator for the second straight offseason, which you don't normally see here. I think it'll be really interesting to see how they come out of the gate, because you can't tell me, if you line up all 32 teams, there's a lot of teams. This were like the NBA Jam of the NFL, nice. And you just took like your five skill guys. I don't know if there's a lot of teams that you would put ahead of what the Eagles have with Hurts, Saquon, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, and pick your fifth, Dallas Goedert, probably. There's not a lot of teams you look and you're like, that's a pretty tough team here. But another market where the temperature, to your point, is going to rise quickly, fair or not, on a coach that, let's remember, three seasons, three playoffs, a Super Bowl appearance. Nick Sirianni's done a lot of positive things through the course of his career there. Let's see what it looks like in 2024.
All right, top five. We're going to talk a lot about this guy. We're
still simmering, or is this like... I think
the temperature is a little hotter here. Okay. Matt Eberflus. A lot of pressure on the Bears heading into this year. Number one pick. We're going to see a lot of them on Hard Knocks. I know we love the Flus. We love his new look. He's got to succeed.
The beard is great.
Got to succeed this year.
I told him that when I saw him at the league meeting. He said his wife and his daughters really like it. I wouldn't mess with Kelly on that either. She wants the beard. I say you stick with the beard. They substantially raised expectations last year by the way they finished. From the trade deadline on, obviously, you know, the defense was a lot better with Flus calling it. But after they made the Montez Sweat trade, they played so well down the stretch, and they were beating teams in the division. They were taking teams to the wire. That certainly colored the postseason conversation, because they went through a few days of meetings before making decisions about how to proceed.
Right.
And I think that it's fair to say that there were scenarios where maybe Eberflus is not the coach, but what they came to the agreement on was, and Eberflus is in those conversations, we're going to go after Caleb Williams. We're going to move on from Justin Fields. We need to get a coach that we think is a really good fit for Caleb Williams. And so they moved on from Luke Getsy, who landed on his feet with the Raiders. And I think Luke Getsy is a really good head coach, too, or offensive coordinator as well. He's interviewed for head coaching jobs. But they bring in a guy in Shane Waldron who's trained under Belichick, McVay, Pete Carroll. He's run different types of offenses. He's been exposed to a lot of stuff. He's worked with veteran quarterbacks. He's worked with young quarterbacks. They think that this is a really good fit. There's no doubt. I think that anytime you have the number one pick, look at Frank Reich last year. At this time last year, we were talking about Frank Reich. He's got the super staff. He's got Bryce Young. The future is bright. That's 11 games.
Yep.
They went 1-10. So no question there's pressure on Matt Eberflus in a really tough division that we'll talk about in a little bit here in the NFC North. I don't know that I would look at it as a hot seat. I think that, especially with the Bears, they don't make in-season changes anyway. I think this is going to be, let's see over the totality of the season, what does the progress look like for Chicago? What does the progress look like for Caleb Williams? You've committed to Caleb Williams. This is your future. Everything is evaluated through that lens.
Number four, Antonio Pierce.
Well, Antonio Pierce had an interesting month or so here with some of the non-football related things that he's had to get a lot of text messages about, I'm sure. Listen, the Raiders were in a spot after the season where there were certain people who were pushing for, let's go hire Jim Harbaugh.
Yep.
I thought there were scenarios where they might go after, you know, name your hot young offensive coach. I thought there were scenarios where maybe John Gruden comes back. That could have gone a lot of different directions, because the Raiders played so well with Antonio Pierce as their interim coach. And to go in on Christmas and whip the Chiefs up and down the field, you were left in a position where there was no way you could go another direction unless you got some type of a big fish. We're bringing in Bill Belichick. We're bringing in Pete Carroll. We're bringing in Jim Harbaugh. We're bringing back John Gruden. There was no other way, because you would have lost the locker room. Max Crosby's out there saying, I don't want to be a Raider. He told him, I don't want to be a Raider if Antonio Pierce isn't the head coach. But I've always felt there is a difference between what you have with an interim coach versus being the head coach, because there is a placebo effect. Jeff Saturday. Remember, I was here.
Won their first game.
The week Jeff Saturday took over.
Yeah.
And they played the Raiders.
It was nuts.
That week, and they won. And then they lost every other game for the rest of the season. I think they went 0-10 after that. But they got that initial, like, hey, things are different. And Antonio Pierce, as a super passionate dude who knows the game, who knows the people in the game, knows his locker room. Everything he did, it was, hey, remember when Josh was going to have us fly cross country and we were going to sleep in Florida for a week? So we got two games there. Yeah, we're just not doing that now. We're going to come back. You're going to sleep in your bed for the week. He pushed every button. It is different being the head coach. It is different being in that type of a position. You can't just play the, hey, things are different card. No, now this is your team. They're taking on your personality. Can you go 17 games of, hey, we're going to be tougher than everybody.
Yep.
We're going to kick everybody's ass. We're not going to let, we're going to show no mercy to Patrick Mahomes. It's to be determined. There's no track record on Antonio Pierce other than what he did as the interim coach. I mean, he was in recruiting 5 years ago for Arizona State.
Right.
He was in car dealerships. He was a player and a really good one. And I can't remember if he actually was a captain, but he was one of the leaders on those the Giants Super Bowl team. You're now taking on a totally different type of a leadership role. He absolutely showed he is up to the job, but going through an offseason, going through the draft, setting what you want your personnel to look like, this is all new for Antonio Pierce. We'll find out when we get to September. And a big part of it, the biggest question for the Raiders is, of all the quarterback competitions, I legit have no idea what's going to take place with the Raiders. If anything, I'd almost lean toward Aiden O'Connell just because you've heard players step up for Aiden O'Connell because you've heard Antonio Pierce say he deserves to be the first guy. You also get Gardner Minshew $15 million fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
So let's see how this thing shakes.
Let's go to the NFC South. Number three, Dennis Allen of the New Orleans Saints.
I mean, I think that one's fair just because everybody there, you know, Mickey Loomis talked about it after last season that, you know, we got to look at things. We might have to do some things differently here. They've been a team that throughout the Sean Payton tenure, they were always leveraging future assets to win now. It was keeping the older, expensive players. It was giving up future draft picks to build for now. It was maxing out the salary cap on a year-in, year-out basis. And I know that they always had a plan. That plan did not involve the global pandemic in 2020 that caused the cap to drop by like $30 million for 1 year. But they put themselves in a position where they've had to make some more difficult decisions because every dollar you spend hits the salary cap eventually. Now you've got a Saints team that I think that they made a smart decision to go get a guy like Clint Kubiak, guys who know that offense. Andrew Janoco is the new quarterback's coach there, guys who have come up in that Shanahan, Kubiak, McVay, West Coast style of offense. Derek Carr, there's a lot of data to suggest in new offenses, he has struggled in the past. Now you go from Pete Carmichael, who is running a Sean Payton derivative type of system, to now going to this Shanahan McVay system. I think that it makes a lot of sense. They do have weapons. They got dudes at the wide receiver position from Chris Olave on down, even after moving on from Michael Thomas, who had been essentially an anchor on the salary cap for several years. I think they've got a chance in a wide open division. They went, I think, 9-8 last year, right? And they were a tiebreaker away from being a playoff team.
Right.
There was never really any serious conversation about moving on from Dennis Allen last year. If you go through another season and you're non-playoff again, to go back to the point I made earlier, there's not many times you're a non-playoff team for 3 years and you get a year four. It's pretty rare. So no question, Dennis Allen, he'd agree with it too. They got to play. They got to win games. They got to go to the playoffs. And in that division, I certainly don't think you can rule that out.
All right, let's do two more. After the break, come back, 1-2 of the coaches whose seat is most simmering.
According to Brockman.
Entering 2024.
Just making this clear.
According to me.
Chris,
not Rich,
Brockman,
not Tom, according to me.
Who you can find on all social media platforms.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Tom Pelissero once again in studio. I'm here the rest of the week. Got a lot of NFL excitement to come. Scott Hansen, by the way, going to be in studio tomorrow. And so is Jamie Erdahl of the newly semi-relocated Good Morning Football. So we're going to have a lot of a lot of good conversations. Hansen's also doing the Gold Zone for the Olympics. So
fun.
That'll be a lot, good time. 50 days out from the NFL regular season opener. Brockman, you've been rolling through your Chris Brockman's hot seat rankings. We got through
Powerless
10 through
ranking.
3, which I love that you went that deep. Why not just do all 32? Your top two. Go to number two. What do you got?
All right. Jay Fallon, hit the drop.
Let me have your attention for a moment.
And now it's Brockman's Powerless Rankings.
This is shame. Great. It's a great job. I love it. All right, let's run down. So this is my...
Can you wear that outfit tomorrow, by the way? Ooh, I'd appreciate it.
Let's see what I can do for you. Powerless rankings. My coaches whose seat is on simmer entering 2024. Number 10 was Sean Payton. 9, Mike McDaniel. 8, Sean McDermott. 7, Brian Daboll. 6, Nick Sirianni. 5, Matt Eberflus. 4, Antonio Pierce. 3, Dennis Allen. Bringing us to top two here to close the show. Number 2, he's a beautiful member of the Bald Brotherhood, Robert Saleh. Is number 2 on my powerless rank.
I mean, I keep going back to when you've... How many coaches get a fourth year if they have made the playoffs the first three? This is now year 4 for Robert Saleh. Last year was supposed to be that test year, right? It was, we got Aaron Rodgers. We've put all the pieces around him. He finally resolved the quarterback issue. Then 4 snaps in, Rodgers goes down with a torn Achilles. They actually won. The next 6 games were pretty good. I think they split the next six, 3-3, and then it went downhill, and they went back and forth on the quarterbacks and all that stuff. I mean, there's no question. Listen, you have a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback who's won 4 MVPs on your roster. You've got a really good young group. You look at some of their drafts and what they've put together on both sides of the football. No doubt. And I think Robert Saleh will be the first one to say if, you know, actually, in fact, no, Aaron Rodgers was the first one to say it when it was, if we don't do well here, we're all going to be out of jobs.
Yeah, we're all gone.
That certainly applies to Robert Saleh. Aaron Rodgers will see exactly how that one plays out.
And number one. If you don't have haters, you're going to pop in, right? Number one. I mean, come on. This list should have just been 10th or 2. Number one is Mike McCarthy. Come on, TJ. We know who's on the hot seat entering 2024. The Dallas Cowboys head coach, Mike McCarthy.
I waited 25 minutes to hear this. Like, I knew this was going to be number one.
Think how off kilter it is. You're saying the number one hot seat candidate is a guy who has gone to the playoffs 3 straight years and won 12 games each of those 3 years, the first coach in Cowboys history to do that.
He should have got fired after last year. Everybody knows it. He knows
it.
He gets
one bad game in the playoffs.
Jerry Jones knows it.
Dak Prescott had the best season of his career. The best season of his career with Mike McCarthy calling the plays.
Bill Belichick was right there to be your head coach. He was right there.
The idea
all
that
you
Bill
had to
Belichick
do
is going
to
come into
say,
that environment.
Hey, Bill, want to break the record wearing the star on the side of your helmet? Let's go.
But with Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. He's not just going to step in and go, all right, let's just pick up where Mike left off. Run the same offense and defense. I'm just here to, like, guide it. This isn't a managerial change. Bill Belichick would want to come in, be able to set up the program the way that he wants to with the people that he wants and do it his way. This is not, again, I could be totally wrong.
You're not.
This team could win seven games and Bill could be in Dallas in 2025. I don't foresee that happening. We'll see.
Number one hot seat.
Thank you for being just a source of reason and a voice of
number
reason.
Number one coach on
here,
the hot seat.
Tom, because
he knows it. Jerry knows it.
I gotta hear this
Charlotte
every day.
Knows it.
Every
the Dallas
day,
Cowboy
Tom.
Cheerleaders know it. Everybody knows it.
If they start 0-4, sure. I'll give you he's on the hot seat. 12-5, 3 straight years.
Tom, thank you for being here. Thank you so much for being
you got
here.
It. Guess what?
12-5 Do they hang a 12-5 three straight years banner at the AT&T Stadium?
No, but they've gotten better each year. They ran into the hottest team in football in the Green Bay Packers, and everything was a mess. As one player once told me, sometimes you just have one of those games where everything goes to bleep from the opening kickoff.
They have it every year in Dallas.
We're back tomorrow. I guess Brockman is too.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.